Welcome back to Pack Mentality, and I do owe all of you an apology. I have been behind on my goal of one podcast a week on program design for the entire year. What I'm going to do is, to make it up to you, I'm going to release two this week and two the next week, and I'll double-check my numbers to make sure I'm on track. If not, I'll just release more. No excuses, but I have been sick. I was sick 2 weeks ago with a bad stomach thing over the weekend, and then this weekend I have a cold, so hopefully my sickness is out of the way for the rest of the year, and I just got it all out of the way. So I am going to get back on the bandwagon with these one podcast a week on program design for you guys. And without further ado, let's talk about today's subject. So we're talking about the secret combo for elite fitness. So what we're going to be talking about today is why strength and aerobic capacity are the foundation of elite fitness. And this is pretty much we're going to be talking about how to build a base for your fitness and moving on. And we always return to base building as well, regardless of how fit you are. And then we're going to talk about how training in the 1 to 5 rep range improves maximum strength. I think that's a no-brainer there. Why aerobic-based development matters and for performance and longevity. This is very important. And then we're also going to go into common misconceptions about mixing the two. And we're also going to be talking about how this training approach benefits everyday athletes and high performers alike. So without further ado, let's get right into it. So I'll be honest with you. Quick story here. Sorry, I'm still kidding over my cold. There was a time where, I was a pretty decent CrossFit, I would say, athlete. I was never elite by my standards or anyone else's standards, I believe, but I was pretty good at, the standard CrossFit style, at least at the time, about 10 years ago. And when I finally got a coach, one of the first things I realized, especially when we got done with our initial testing of what our training protocols would be, I noticed at least that I had no aerobic capacity, and then my posterior chain was weak, my scapular retraction was weak, and I was actually severely lacking behind on my max lifts other than my Olympic lifts, because I had dabbled into Olympic lifting for a year straight without much CrossFit, so I had some decent Olympic lifts, but everything else was lacking behind. And so once I actually started developing both an aerobic base, which I thought I actually had a good one until I was actually tested, once I actually started getting pushed in that zone, I realized how much of a difference that made, not only my recovery between training sessions, but also my recovery between sets on my strength work. So we're going to be really dialing in on why building an aerobic base is extremely important, also why upfront strength in the 1 to 5 rep range is important as well. So my Olympic lifts were pretty good, but my squats weren't that great. I was pretty imbalanced. My bench press wasn't very good. My pressing in general wasn't very good. I should just say that. So once we identified those weaknesses, we were able to address them correctly. And like I said before in previous podcasts, is that if you don't test and you also don't have a progression in place, then you're never going to get better. There's always has to be some sort of structure or some sort of mastermind behind it in order to actually improve. And you will improve a lot faster when you're at the helm or when you have a coach at the helm for you. So let's get into part one. I've divided this up into several different parts. So part one, we're going to talk about building strength in the 1 to 5 rep range, okay? So what this means is to train for raw strength. Very simple, right? I think if you're listening to this, you already know that the 1 to 5 rep range is kind of obvious where that's where we're going to build the most strength. And so we're talking about high intensity, low rep work here. So anywhere between the 85 to 100% of your 1 rep max range, this is that kind of that percentage training zone. And what we focus on here is compound lifts, so like squats, deadlifts, presses, and the Olympic lifts like the snatch and clean and jerk. And the role of this is to have a progressive overload and proper recovery with this. Now, the main benefits of training in this rep range is that you're creating maximal force production. So I realize that you do need to be really good at cycling the barbell, moving heavy and moderate weight in a Metcon very well. However, if your body isn't used to producing maximum force, what's going to happen is that it's not going to be as efficient as it could. Think of it like it's the equivalent of a sprint, right? So you actually have the best running form when you're sprinting. It's when you kind of go in that mid to long range, that's when the form starts breaking down. So what we're actually training here is not only just maximum force production for max effort strength, but also increased neurological efficiency, which just means better muscle recruitment. So our form gets better because you have really good form on a 315 power clean. Guess what? When you cycle a 95-pound barbell for cleans, not only is it going to feel lighter, but you're probably going to be technically proficient as well. And so this carried over is not only into the sport of fitness, but also into everyday life because, you know, when you have maximal force production, moving things for reps does tend to be easier because you know the most efficient way to do it. And strength as the foundation for power and endurance, sorry, strength as the foundation for power will lead into having better endurance when you are moving a barbell for higher reps. And also this prevents injuries as well, because the stronger you are, obviously, the less likely something like a light load or a moderate load is going to injure you. So that's why we want to make sure we have maximal force production or a heavy upfront load for a higher one rep maximum or up to a three rep maximum that will have the most benefits and carry over to the sport. And when we're looking at structure for strength development, so in terms of frequency, so how often should we be doing this every week? We're looking about 2 to 4 days per week. We need to be doing high, like 85%+ in the 1 to 5 rep range. And in terms of sets and reps, we're looking at 3 to 5 sets in the 1 to 5 rep range. And the rest period should be anywhere between probably 2 minutes for maximum recover for minimum. And the reason for that is because as soon as you're getting below that 2 minute mark, that the creatine phosphate system doesn't recover properly, the nervous system doesn't recover fully. And so you're already kind of doing fatigue-based training or it becomes more metabolic, okay? And we're not training an organic adaptation, we're training more of a neurological adaptation here. And that allows for full ATP recovery. And you know, you can rest up to 5 minutes. It just really depends on like on the lift. And if you're going for a true run rep max, then yeah, about 5 minutes you could do, especially for something like a deadlift. But other than that, I like to stay on the 2 to 3 minute range when I train most of my peeps. Now moving into key exercises here. So the exercise that we want a 1 to 5 rep range upfront strength is, we want squat, deadlift, bench, press, sorry, well, bench and shoulder press, I should say, clean and jerk, and snatch. Those are the key exercises that we want a high upfront strength. You could even throw in overhead squat and front squat in there as well. But those are the key lifts that we want to be working on. And in terms of accessory work to go along with these, we want midline stability, unilateral work. So that simply means single leg work or single arm work, and then posterior chain development as well. So posterior chain just meaning like think of like your back, hamstrings, glutes. Okay. And some common mistakes when we're doing this in terms of strength training is that people chase PRs in every training session. Okay. And the problem is with doing that is that you're focusing on the short term and not the long term. So while it may seem easy to be snatching or clean and jerking 75% of your max that day, guess what? You're not just training your muscles, you're not just trying to get stronger, you're training to also hit minimum. So one of the best pieces of advice I ever got from my strength coach was that you don't want to increase your maximum, you actually want to increase your minimum. So let's say that, hey, Matt, regardless of how sore you are, how tired you are, you slept 2 hours a night, you're hungover, you can still walk out there and hit like a 225 snatch. That is your minimum, no matter what or how you feel. And so that really helped me change my way of thinking. And I hope that helps you too, is that I always focus on increasing what is the minimum I could hit every day, regardless of how I feel. And that's what I want to be focused on improving. And another key mistake that people get wrong is that they ignore technique and mobility. So mobility work especially needs to be done about 2 hours before your training session or 2 hours after, mainly because you don't want to be too loose depending on what lifts you're doing, especially if you're doing like a squat or something like that. If you're overly stretched out, you're not going to have maximal force production and it's not going to be helpful really in any way. And you want to obviously don't want to ignore technique for obvious reasons. I'm not going to go into that, but I think we all know why you don't want to ignore technique. And also, people, especially when they're come fresh out of just straight CrossFit, is that they're so used to having little rest is that they don't take enough rest between sets and they start rushing things. Okay. And when you rush things and you don't rest long enough, that you risk. Or you don't risk, but we know for a fact that you're going to have less strength development because you're not fully recovering for the next set. And the whole point of this is to for maximum force development. And without that, without maximal rest, guess what? You're not going to be able to produce as much power or strength applied to that barbell as you could. That covers the strength training in the 1 to 5 rep range. And again, the main reason why we want to do this is because you need to have upfront strength before you can have strength endurance or muscle endurance. And it prevents injury as well. And like the example I said earlier, you know, if you put up a 405 squat, back squatting 135 is not only neurologically going to feel easier, but it's a lot easier to make an organic adaptation after. So while you may not feel, at, you know, early on, like once you have a good heavy single or in the 1 to 5 rep range, It will take time to develop the muscle endurance because you will kind of burn out a little bit because you just haven't been training it. But that's just an organic adaptation. That just comes with training. Whereas when we're training in that 1 to 5 rep range, we're training both neurologically and organically. So that's the key takeaway there. So now I want to move on to why and how to build an aerobic base. So this is part 2. So we want upfront strength, but we also need an aerobic base. And the great thing about both of these is that you can develop both. And we're building not only a base for our strength, but we can also build a base for our cardiovascular system. And so what is an aerobic base? So it's what this means is the ability to efficiently produce energy for long durations. So, okay, so and oxygen is going to be your main fuel source here because aerobic, translated from Greek, literally means with oxygen. And, you know, this is built through low intensity, steady state work and zone 2 training. Okay, so you can still do intervals here. You can still do some things like that to mix things up. But zone 2 training is going to be your bread and butter for building that aerobic zone. And this is critical for recovery, endurance, and overall work capacity. Because like I said, it's about using oxygen as a fuel source. And if you're inefficient as using oxygen as a fuel source in a low intensity setting, guess what? You're going to be very inefficient in a high intensity setting. So what are the benefits of aerobic training? So first off, it improves recovery between strength sessions. I mentioned that earlier. And it enhances mitochondrial function, which is the powerhouse of the cells. And what gives you pretty much the energy and overall work capacity. And it supports heart health and longevity. So just one of my favorite quotes of all time is that if you want to live longer, train aerobic or long, you know, train aerobically. If you want to live a better life, train strength. So right here, we're doing a combination of both. And it increases fat oxidation and energy efficiency. Okay, so you will drop some body fat along with that. The zone 2 area is the best area, is the best training zone for burning fat specifically. Because as soon as you kind of get in above that zone 2 range, you start burning glycogen or carbohydrates as your main fuel source, or it becomes more metabolic. And metabolic literally means, refers to metabolism, which means that you're using food as a fuel source. Whereas with aerobic zone, with oxygen, you are using fat or your body fat as your main fuel source, especially when you get in the hour plus range. So that's the one thing that is detrimental, or I guess would say is a con to doing zone 2 training, is that you have to do a lot of it and it has to be pretty long. Okay, so you won't really reap the full benefits of zone 2 training unless you're going, in my opinion, up to an hour plus. Because kind of leading up to that, it's like you're kind of burning through glycogen early because your body isn't like gears on a car where it just shifts from going the creatine phosphate system to the glycolytic system or lactate system and then to aerobic. That all energy systems work concurrently together. So once you get into that long zone, so that hour plus range, that's where the aerobic system really takes over all the other energy systems. So just an FYI on there that it has to be long. And program structure for aerobic development, we're looking at a frequency of 2 to 4 sessions per week, more the better. You can do aerobic training every day, zone 2. So if you're one of those people, you don't have enough time to do an hour long plus aerobic session in zone 2. Not only that, it's pretty boring. You can actually spread this out over, you know, 5-7 days a week where you're doing like 30-minute sessions. Now, in my opinion, is that going to be as effective? No, but is it more efficient? Yes. So zone 2 cardio or aerobic work is done at easy conversational pace, and it's, you know, running, biking, rowing, or swimming, okay? I really like using machines preferably because it's muscle contractions only. So I'm not a huge fan of running for zone 2 work, even though I think that it should still be done. I just don't think it should be done as frequently if you're a CrossFitter as rowing, biking, or even throwing in the skier as well, or doing a combination of both. And just because it's zone 2, doesn't mean you can't rotate between exercises. Like you do a run, row, bike, swim, ski, all in the same like hour session, just rotate through it to keep it from being boring. You just don't want to spike that heart rate because sometimes when you switch to a brand new machine or switch to something different that you'll automatically start going a little bit harder just because it's a different muscle group or something and you'll be fresh and you'll start going for it. So you can also do this with LSD work. So long, slow distance, again, pretty boring, but definitely very effective. And I used to do this all the time when I was training. Very intensely for CrossFit Games regionals. And LSD work is not fun. However, it is very effective. And we're talking about like 30 to 90 minutes, 30 being the absolute bare minimum. And that's if you're pressed for time. Ideally, again, like I said, it'd be 60 plus minutes, up to 90 minutes. And then interval training with controlled intensity. So you can still do intervals, like, you know, like 30 on, 30 off. You could still do, you know, 1 minute on, 1 minute off, I like to keep it a 1-to-1 work rest ratio just because it does let the heart rate lower back down to where it keeps me more in that zone 2 range. You're going to fluctuate regardless. And the heart rate zones don't always tell the whole picture. That just gives us a framework to work with or a template. So that way we have an idea of where we're at. Now, if you're in the red zone, you look at your heart rate and you're like, 180, then yes, you definitely need to back off because you're doing almost borderline a sprint. And then you can also do low intensity circuits. So you can still throw in like things like carries, light body weight work, like burpees, fire walks. You could throw in some sleds. The key thing here is that we're doing something cyclical, so meaning fast turnover, okay? So we shouldn't be like a slow movement, like a snatch or a clean and jerk, because that becomes more nervous system based. We want it to be, something faster paced that gets the heart rate decently up, that has fast turnover. And some common mistakes when it comes to aerobic training is, first off, like I said earlier, is training too hard. So turning every session into an anaerobic effort that defeats the purpose, and you're not even be training what we're going for here. You'll be training an entirely different energy system. And also not being patient. Aerobic adaptations take some time. It's something that definitely needs to be done frequently in order to see benefits. And also, it's our hardest to maintain. The aerobic system will, if you don't train it often and frequently, you're going to start losing it very, very fast. So whereas strength training is the opposite, it takes a long time to get strong, but you also retain it a lot longer. The aerobic system does tend to build a lot faster. However, it's very easy to lose it. So just something to keep in mind there when you're training both of those. And now we're going to talk about, one last thing. We're going to talk about ignoring the heart rate tracking. Okay, you have to stay in zone 2. And the best way to do this, the most accurate way, is to get some sort of a chest strap. So I have used the Polar chest straps, and I've linked that to a Polar watch, and that really helped. I don't think it's completely necessary unless you're a super hardcore athlete. I think a simple fitness tracking watch should suffice. There's no reason to invest a lot of money into this if you're not some sort of hardcore athlete. So I personally like to use my Garmin. Other people use a Fitbit or Apple Watch, whatever. It's totally up to you on what you want to use. You just wanted something to kind of give you some sort of a feedback loop on if you're staying in the zone 2 range. Now we're going to move on to combining both conditioning, oh, sorry, combining strength work with your aerobic work and how to do it intelligently. So the misconception of strength versus endurance. So you can build strength and an aerobic base simultaneously. I've done it. It does take a lot of time, but it's very good to have both. It's fun to have both, especially when you're good at both. You're like, I can't believe I can do this. And strength helps endurance athletes be more resilient, and vice versa. And aerobic work helps strength athletes specifically recover faster. And that's one of the most key benefits that I overlooked when I first started doing more aerobic training, was that I would get done with a set of like heavy back squats, sets of 5+. And usually that would kind of win me a little bit, like not to the point where I had to like, sit down or anything, but you're like, whoo, you kind of come off a back squat, get a little lightheaded, you're breathing heavy. But I noticed when I did a lot of aerobic work that I felt amazing. Like I could get through it really easily. And I was like, okay, when's the next set? I just had more energy, which is great because my mitochondria was built. And then how to program both into your training system. So now, first off, you have to have strength focus days. So you have to have low rep strength work first, short aerobic work after. So if you have about an hour and a half of training, you could lift or do your main lift for about 45 minutes to an hour, then do about 30 minutes of zone 2 work. You could do that every day. And honestly, that's perfectly fine. And most people could sustain that for the rest of their lives. And you could also have aerobic focus days, so zone 2 training without the interference of strength sessions. So typically what I like to do is I like to, pick my 3 to 4 priority days, or sometimes even 2, depending on who I'm training, of just straight aerobic work. And then the other days, I always have some sort of strength work involved, okay? So I like to have strength work about 5 days a week. And so I'd have 2 of those days designated as aerobic days. And then the other, probably another 2 days combined, about 30 minutes to 60 minutes of either zone 2 intervals or just zone 2 work in general. 2 days of CrossFit. And then what does that leave me at? Heavy at like 3 more days. But you guys get the idea. And then I would just fill in the gaps with other things, with other tr either traditional CrossFit, or just to kind of keep things mixed up so it doesn't get boring. Or I would throw in like some sort of other, anaerobic or sprint work along with that, just to keep things fresh. And then you could also have hybrid days too, which is strength followed by low intensity steady state work, or vice versa. So here's another weekly split that you could also run. So Monday you have strength work plus a short aerobic finisher. Tuesday you have zone two cardio, 30 to 45 minutes. Again, you could mix in some strength work there. Wednesday you have a heavy lifting day. Thursday you have rest or mobility. And that rest day could still be an aerobic day. Let's keep it in zone two and keep it something low impact, like a 60-minute bike would be fantastic. And then Friday, you have a strength plus aerobic work. And then Saturday, you have a long, slow distance work. And again, on Sunday, you could have either a rest or active recovery. Again, still that active recovery could still be zone two work. Like I said, you can do zone two work almost every day. It's the energy system, especially if you're not going super long. It's an energy system that will recover extremely quickly. And because it does recover quickly, it means that you'll make adaptations faster the more frequently that you do it. But you just have to make sure you are recovering. So let's go and recap everything that we just talked about. So the reason why strength and aerobic work go hand in hand is because you're working on two different extremes, right? So you have your upfront strength, which is going to give you just your overall strength base, right? And which is going to transfer over to all your lifts. And then if you do want to work on strength endurance, you have a base right there. And then doing higher reps is just going to be an organic adaptation. So just muscle endurance, and that just takes training. And then you have the aerobic base on the other hand as well, which is going to allow you for higher power output because you're going to be able to recover faster for those interval sessions. Or if you do train in that glycolytic or lactate zone, which is like the classic CrossFit zone, you'll be able to recover faster after those training sessions or do more interval repeats for that as well and not be as winded. Or if you do get winded, you'll recover very quickly. And then once you have that, so you can see we're starting on two different extremes. So strength, long, and then as you get closer, you can just start combining the two as you build the base. And then during quote unquote the off season, you actually go back to that. Okay. So every time I would wrap up a season or the CrossFit Games Open or regionals, we'd immediately go back into strength work, working on my weaknesses and aerobic work, because that's also less taxing on my nervous system. And also you have to think of the hormonal response to training as well. If you're only training intensity all the time, the cortisol is going to spike. You're just not going to recover. It also delays recovery. Whereas if you're doing aerobic work, this is why people kind of get the runner's high or they like doing endurance sports, because it actually lowers cortisol. Actually makes you less stressed. And then you have the strength training over here, which is quote unquote fun. You know, who doesn't like to lift? Or at least I do. So then you have your strength work over here again, which is not as cortisol intensive because you're not doing super high reps and you're not really doing anything metabolically yet. It's pretty much a neurological and organic adaptation there without anything, you know, going into the intense zone. And then, so what you can do to apply some of these principles in your own training is, first off, you could just have to figure out what works best for you. And I know that's kind of a cliche thing to say here, but not everyone can tolerate the same amount of each. So you have to assess what your strengths and weaknesses are. So you have to know, be like, okay, am I, based on some of the data that we have, am I strong or am I weaker in my aerobic zone? And then just train one of those more biasly, okay? And then you can train both. So, I mean, ideally, 5 days a week, you would actually just do both, okay? And then just rotate exercises and just keeps things fresh on the aerobic zone. So, I mean, that's a good framework to start with right there. So if you're new to this, though, and you haven't done zone two aerobic work, I recommend just starting with one per week at just 30 minutes and then keep it right around 30 minutes and just keep adding sessions when you get more comfortable. Because first off, you just have to kind of get used to it. The fact that it's going to be kind of boring at first. And I'm sorry, but that's just the reality of it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, but it is very beneficial. And that just because it's boring doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. And once you kind of establish a happy base there and you're like, okay, this is good, you can either increase the time or you can increase the frequency. So add another day in there some other time. And then you can also mix things up with intervals or mixing things up with rotating machines and stuff. But start off with just one session, one machine per week. And then on the strength training side, you obviously want to focus on progressive overload. So you need some sort of structured program. You just can't do random lifts and hope that you get stronger. You have to make sure that there's a structured protocol in there. There's a daily training program, and there's a test, and there's assessments, and there's retesting. Okay, so that way you know if you're progressing or not. You have little mini benchmarks or milestones along the way. And then you also have to track your heart rate to ensure proper aerobic-based development. That's really important that you have some sort of a way to monitor your heart rate or at least give you an estimate of that. Because otherwise, you know, without that feedback, you have no idea if you're actually spiking the heart rate or you're not. Especially if you're someone who actually has kind of, you know, a pretty efficient lungs, that for all you know, the heart rate could be spiking, but you're breathing pretty easily. That doesn't mean that you're working aerobically. It just simply means that your lungs are more efficient than the heart. And some people are just like that. So that wraps things up here. If you have any questions, feel free to talk to me in person. I know most of you who listen to this go to the gym. So if this was helpful, do me a favor, share this with a friend, and leave me a 5-star review so I know to make more content just like this. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you guys on the next one.